So last week, Pastor Dixon asked me if my family decorates for Christmas, and I asked him the same question right back, and then I interrupted myself saying, wait, I know you do because you keep a Christmas tree up in your office all year round. And he said, are you serious? You think I keep a Christmas tree up in my office all year round? And you never know if he's kidding or not, but he had me come over and look, and then I realized he had it up then, and I didn't know if it was up just then or for 365 days a year. And I said to him, you know, you've given me two great reasons for this moment. One is I never know if you are telling the truth, but secondly, you've given me the best example for the opening of my sermon. Because it made me realize I am not so good at noticing things sometimes. It might be a trite example, but it made me think of the many elements of Christmas and how much we do or do not notice about the season. There's so much going on. We've heard the story so many times. We're writing our Christmas cards. We're sending packages, baking Christmas cookies. You've got so many things on your plate. And Christmas is just, what, 5 days away now? Christmas Eve, 5 days away. We know that the story is about the Christ child. But do we really look at it that closely? Take Bethlehem, for instance, the town that Pastor Dixon just read about in both of our readings. Most of us have known about this little town of Bethlehem since we started Sunday school, probably as three-year-olds if we came to a Lutheran church. But what do we know about Bethlehem? Bethlehem is first mentioned in the book of Genesis in the Bible. It's the place where Rachel dies and is buried. It's the setting for the book of Ruth, and it is the presumed birthplace and home of Ruth's family descendant, King David. Bethlehem means house of bread, which I think is very cool that we're talking about it today since we are receiving Holy Communion. We are receiving the bread of life, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Other than that, Bethlehem is rather insignificant. It wasn't a big city like Jerusalem. It was pretty unknown and unnoticed. At the heart of the Christmas story in Matthew's gospel, as Pastor Dixon just read, is the good news, however, that a baby would be born in this little town called Bethlehem. We know the story well. Wise men come from the east following a star, and they stop in Jerusalem, the big city, probably expecting for the baby to be born there. And they ask King Herod, where is it that this baby has been born? And King Herod is terrified, and he calls on his chief priests and scribes to ask them where this baby is going to be born, this ruler. And they quote Micah, the other passage that Pastor Dixon read, saying that this child will be born in Bethlehem. Micah prophesied at a time that, incidentally, was about 700, 750 years before King Herod's time, and it was a dark time in their history. But it was dark in King Herod's time as well. And I would say it is kind of a dark time for us as we celebrate Christmas too. Not just this year, but especially this past year and a half to 2 years, we know we've endured quite a bit of darkness. So you'd think that this news of a long-awaited king would be welcome, but King Herod is frightened. And even more surprising, perhaps, is that the people of Jerusalem are frightened as well. And so my first question is, why the fear? Why were they so fearful, and why are we so fearful? And I think the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says it so well. Our hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. One of my favorite theologians once said, the opposite of peace is not war, it is fear. So what is it that you fear? A few years ago, my husband and I went to a very glamorous wedding. There were people attending that wedding from all over the world, diplomats to different countries, big cities in Europe to Latin America, big cities on the East and West Coast, and we were living in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the time, as I was in my first call as a pastor. And many, if not all, at the wedding had never heard of South Dakota, not to mention Sioux Falls, which I have always added is incidentally the biggest city in the state. But they didn't show a lot of interest in us being from there. Who knows if it was really the case, but my inferiority complex was in full force. So when I hear words like, O little town of Bethlehem, I'm reminded about what it felt like to be from a little town. It doesn't always feel good to be little, to be unknown, unnoticed, or unappreciated. Is that why Herod and the people of Jerusalem, is that what they feared? Or did they fear being out of control? It's hard to know what they feared, but those are a couple of things that strike true to me. We don't want to be little. Most of us want to make our mark, show that we're worthy, likable, competitive, sufficient on our own. And God knows that. But God assures us that it is in the littlest and most humble places that we can be certain God dwells. A baby in a manger, a little town called Bethlehem, a death on a cross, God's power is for sure shown in these ways. The prophet Micah says that this new ruler shall be a shepherd for his people. He will rule not by domination, but by knowing each and every one of his sheep. Now, if you've seen any modern-day shepherds, you've seen, like you can look it up on the internet, you can see that sheep only respond to their shepherd's call. If they get somebody else in there trying to call their they don't respond. The sheep do not respond to anybody but their shepherd's voice. It's no wonder then that the 23rd Psalm and those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," are recited so frequently at funerals, because there is no pretense in death. There's no need to prove yourself when you're truly at your lowest. What you need at those times is comfort and assurance that your loved ones and you yourselves are known and cherished by a loving God. When you are completely broken and unable to do for yourselves, God, as Lord and Shepherd, leads you beside still waters, shows you the ways of peace, and promises that nothing ever separates you from God's love, whether that be on earth or in heaven. Human powers may try to separate us from that, but God's power never will. God promises to always shepherd and accompany us, and always assures us that we are not alone. We're gonna be okay no matter what. But it's in the places where we feel the smallest and most unable to control that God truly enters in addiction, death, loneliness, failure, helplessness, shame, guilt, insignificance. We may be living in one of those places now, and we all know those are not places we choose to dwell. But when we are in those places, God promises to be right there with us too. Christmas can amplify feelings of being inconsequential, unnoticed, or forgotten. But the irony of it all is that the Christmas story and the Christmas promise is all about God making the most insignificant, overlooked, and unnoticed people and places the most important and significant bearers of God's love and grace. When Jesus comes, the humble are lifted up, the hungry are filled with good things, the crucified are raised to new life. And so we sing that beloved song, "O little child of Bethlehem, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." Amen.